We're going to be in Psalms chapter 40 tonight. It's good to see each one of you here. And it's always good to be in the house of the Lord. Always. Let me tell you, when I got a problem, now I've had a lot of them in my life, I get myself in the front of the Lord. I take it to Him every time. Because He is faithful. And I don't know how to fix my own problems. And I see as I read in God's Word that I find out that I'm not the only one. There have been men and women all through history that I'm not the first. I'm just following in the same footsteps that somebody else walked in. This is a Psalm of David. And David was a man after God's own heart. And he had a lot of problems. But I also want to remind you, that's why we have a lot of Psalms. The thing about David is when he had something, he took care of it. And when he took care of it, if he did it in his own flesh, he knew quickly that he needed to stop and do it in the presence of the Lord and take care of business. What has God done for you? And what do you need God to do now? So I think about that. What has God done for me? He's done a lot for me. But I also know that I'm not done. I'm still on this earth, on this side of heaven. So I'm going to need Him to do some more because I can't do everything that I need to do. David shows us through the Psalms how it worked for him. And Psalms is an amazing book of songs and just a whole lot of good stuff. In verse 1, he said, I waited patiently for the Lord and He inclined to me and He heard my cry. He learned the power and the giftedness how to wait. Growing as a Christian, you're going to have to learn how to wait upon the Lord. You're going to have to learn how to wait. There's a great piece there in Isaiah chapter 40 about those who wait upon the Lord. But here it is. I waited patiently for the Lord. When you wait on the Lord, when you wait patiently, it brings obedience. When you don't wait and you're impatient, you're going to jump the gun. You're going to make an irrational, emotional decision that could shipwreck your faith. And he opens right up to the gate. He opens right up. He says, I waited patiently for the Lord. And He heard my cry. Conversation between a man and God. I waited. And then he says, He also. So what he's saying, He was there when I waited. But He also, that wasn't the only thing. He also did this. He brought me up out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay. What he's saying, I got stuck. I was in a place I couldn't get out. And I had some things going on that I couldn't fix, is what he's saying. God got me out of something I couldn't get myself out of. A whole bunch of people right now trying to get themselves out of a mess can't do it. You can get into a mess, but you can't get out of it. And David said, He brought me up out of a horrible pit. He got me out of it. But He just didn't get me out of it. He put me on a solid rock. He says, and He set my feet upon a rock, and He established my steps. Once we can acknowledge who God is, once we can acknowledge and come to God and come through Christ, we do that. He'll set us from where we were. He'll set us on the solid ground on the big R rock. He'll set us on Christ, and that will establish our new steps. And we'll learn to walk right in the way God wants us to instead of the way that we have always been walking. But David is a strong believer. He's reminding himself. And who's reminding? He's reminding him of himself as he puts this together. He's reminding what God has done for him. Old testimonies are great. You need them. You go back to them to remind you that God never left you, that God was there, that you learned how to worship God on the good days, and you learned how to worship God on the bad days. You learned to worship on Him when you were smiling, and when you were in sorrow, God is still worthy of praise. And David knows that. And he says, my feet are now up on the solid rock, and I can make steps that I need to. And not only that, what God has done, he says this, he says, he has put a new song in my mouth. Now, people write songs, but here I'm telling you, when they write songs about the Lord, it is the Lord, the Holy Spirit, who gives them words. It's not that they're awesome writers, it's that the Holy Spirit chose them. God chose them to write these songs. He has put a new song in my mouth. Praise to our God. Many will see it and fear and will trust in the Lord. His sadness and his pain and sufferings now have turned to joy and healing. And when that happens, there's a praise that comes out of our mouth. There's a praise that's supposed to flow out into the audience of who's listening and in that congregation, so we can share that God's given me a new song, a new testimony of what God has done in my life. And David understands that probably more than anyone in this moment. When David messed up, man, he knew how to mess up. But so do we. But David knew how to do something that a lot of people still struggle with. David had this heart that just when he messed up, it just broke for God. And it broke in his own life. And he knew that he needed to get it right. And he would always come back to God. He said, blessed is the man who makes the Lord his trust and does not respect the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Blessed the man who keeps his eyes focused on the Lord. A person who trusts in God is a person who is blessed, who is protected. And listen, even though things can happen to you, God still holds those even he allows to pass on. God even holds those who are broken, and the time for their healing is not at hand. You see, our situations, there's always more going on than what we can see, and God always has a stronger purpose, that He can use those things that are bad and turn those things, and He's using those to strengthen us to become stronger believers in Christ. But he says in verse 5, he says, many, O Lord, my God, are your wonderful works. This is not a person who just started walking with the Lord. This is a person who is still walking with the Lord. That he knows that there are wonderful works. Many, O Lord, of my works are your works, wonderful works, which you have done. These are things that God has done. And your thoughts toward us cannot be recounted to you in order. Which means you've done so much, I can't even put them in order. And your thoughts, Lord, upon me, I don't even know. You thought about, the Lord thinks and his thoughts he has, and we're included in them. And there are more than we can even count. And we can't even put them in order. This is an active God. This is an active God. He wants to be a part of our lives, that we can testify like David is testifying through this chapter, that we can read his testifying of his heart coming out and his emotion coming out, of the good and the bad and all the awesome stuff that and who God is. Yet many of us can't even write two or three sentences about what God has done in the last week in our life. He says, if I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. I can't number all what God has done for me. And you can't number all what God has done for you. I can't. I can't remember everything that God's done for me, but I know this. I know a lot that He's done for me. But the more I stay in touch with Him, the more I do remember. I can't keep it in order because there's so much that he's done. I can't even count all the times that he's listened to me praying in a car or praying in a hospital or praying in my own home. And you can't remember all the times when you were in a place of brokenness where you can't even remember all the times that you were speaking and praying to him that he was there listening. This is the man who's lived a life and God was a part of it. He says, sacrifice and offerings, you do not desire. My ears, you have opened. Burnt offerings and sin offerings, you do not require. Then I said, behold, I come in the scroll of the book. It is written to me, I delight to do your will, O my God, and your law is within my heart. I have proclaimed the good news of righteousness in the great assembly. Indeed, I do not restrain my lips, O Lord. You yourself know. He said, I've read it. And I know you. And there's a part there about doing the will of God. Now, there's a prophetic piece in here we're not going to get to, but it's about doing the will of God. David longs to do that. He says, I proclaim the good news. You know what Jesus did? It's part of the prophetic piece. There's good stuff in there about that. But David is writing this. It's a song. It says, I did not restrain my lips, O Lord. You yourself know. There's a part in this story. There's a part in this chapter where he's putting his heart in there. He says, it's about this, God, what have you, this is the stuff that you've done for me and I can't count it. But you know what? He's gearing up to something. There's something I'm going to need now. Isn't that what we are in this world? Because we live on this side of heaven and there's things that we need God to intervene in. And there's things we need God to intervene on. Because God doesn't always move the mountain that's in front of you. Sometimes you have to go through it. The dark woods or the storm that's in front of you, sometimes God will not remove it. You're going to have to journey through it. Sometimes he lets you veer around it. But most of the time, you're going to have to go through it. And he says, I have not hidden your righteousness within my heart. I have declared your faithfulness and your salvation. I have not concealed your loving kindness and your truth from the great assembly. What he's saying, I'm not hiding my salvation. I don't talk about what you've done. I'm going to talk about what you've done to people. I'm going to share what you've done in my life to others. I'm not going to just leave that in my heart and hide it. I'm going to let it radiate off of my life and out of my mouth. Folks, this is why we don't have a church full of people. Because we keep it inside. We need to be open. Unashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Unashamed that Jesus is your Savior, that he's inside your heart. Being unashamable, being able to speak to someone and asking God to give you the strength to speak, and he'll give you the words to speak. Sometimes it's to ask a question or two. Sometimes it's to invite them to something that the church is doing or whatever it may be. But most Christians don't do it. But David says, I'm not going to hide it. I don't hide this stuff. And I'm telling you, if Jesus is in your life and you're letting him live the life, that Holy Spirit inside of you, you're going to want to speak out. You're going to want to speak up. He says, do not withhold your tender mercies from me, O Lord. Now he's turning it from what he's done and the awesomeness of God, and you can't count everything, and all of that, and Lord, this is what I'm doing. I'm sharing these things, and I'm opening up, and they're now it's, Lord, here it is, Lord. We're coming to what he's going to ask for. He says, do not hold your tender mercies from me, O Lord. Now, listen, when you're talking like that, it's someone you know. David knew the Lord. tender mercies. Not just mercy, but tender. I need you, Lord. Right now. I got things. And I need your tenderness right now. Let me tell you, if the Lord came in and breathed on this room, we wouldn't even be able to take it very well. That's how awesome God is. He says, let your loving kindness and your truth continually preserve me. Lord, keep me strong. Keep me in the straight and narrow. Keep me doing what I'm called me to do. Do that, Lord. Keep me in. Have you ever asked that, Lord? Make me the man that you call me to be. Woman, make me the woman that you call me to be. Keep me straight, Lord. Keep me straight. Show your grace. Show your mercies. Let them be upon me. You can't pray that unless you understand who He is. You can't pray that unless you've been through some things and you've understood some things and you've gave Him praise through those kind of things that we've talked about. He says, for innumerable evils have surrounded me. Here he goes. Here's what's happening. He says, now, Lord, here's what's happening. Evil is surrounding me. Evil is in my midst. Now, that evil can be different. The type of evil can be different for you and I. It could be a person. It could be a lustful thing. It could be an addiction thing. It could be all kinds of things. It could be greed. It could be all kinds of things. But he says, evil, evils, lots of evils have surrounded me. I can't even count them, he says. That's pretty dark. If you really think about it, that is pretty dark. And he is king, and it's pretty dark. A lot of stuff going on here. He becomes an awesome king. He really does. He becomes an awesome king. But he says, my iniquities have overtaken me so that I am not able to look up. You see, if we keep our eyes on the evil things, we can't keep our eyes on Jesus. He says, now hear it now, all the stuff we were talking about, that he was talking about, was these pieces like, Lord, I know you're here, you help me through these things, and Lord, you're awesome, good, I got a new praise, I got a new joy in my life, I've been there before, I'm sharing, I'm doing those things, Lord, I need your touch, but now we're getting real, you see, we come into the room and we can stand and we can talk. And we can come into the room and we can sit down and we can start talking. And then we can come into the room and we can sit down and say, excuse me, we need to shut the door for a moment. We need to shut the door. This is going to get real personal. And he's going to open himself up and he's saying, my iniquities have overtaken me so that I'm not even able to look up. People get like that today. They don't even want to come to church because they feel like they're unworthy because of the things that they've been doing, how they've been living. They don't even want to come to the church because they think that everybody sees it, or they feel like they're coming in and they're a hypocrite, whatever it may be. But those things, if you think like that, people think like that, that's an obstacle creating a stumbling block to keep us from coming to Christ and taking care of that stuff that which we need to take care of. And that's cleaning up the heart. What would it look like if the church would clean up their heart with the Lord? The church would be powerful, more powerful than it is. Quit playing around with the things of the world. It doesn't help you. They're not doing anything for you. He says, my iniquities have overtaken me so that I am not able to even look up. They are more than the hairs of my head. Therefore, my heart fails me. I am broken. I can't deal with it. I can't do this. There's so much coming at me, so much evil in my midst. And let me tell you, you can't face evil without the Lord. too big. It's too big. You can't do it. I try to tell other pastors, because they don't want to talk about it. A lot of them don't want to talk about it. But I want to say this. Listen, it's not another program. Another program is not going to grow. It's not going to do these things in your church. It's not going to change everything. Programs are great, and they can help. But it's not that. If it's one of these type of problems, and you've got, there's evil, and there's sin in the house, and there's sin in the camp, nothing you create, nothing the ministries and church world has created will fix any of it. It's a God thing. And it's a God thing because it's a heart thing. It's a heart problem. And it involves with sin, iniquities, ungodly living going on. There's all kinds of things going on. More than that, just a lot of evil coming around me. A lot of evil. A lot of evil. You hang around a lot of evil people, guess what will happen? You can start turning the same way. But he comes to the Lord. Therefore, my heart fails me. I can't. It won't work. It won't work. But he says, be pleased, O Lord, to deliver me. O Lord, make haste to help me. Lord, I need you right now. Lord, I need you to come. I need you to help me. I'm going through something. I need you to help me right now. I need you right now. Y'all ever been in that room with the Lord? In that room, it takes all your energy, and you're praying over something, and you begin to the words are not coming out, but then a word comes out, and then a sentence comes out, and you're struggling through it, you're wrestling through it, and you got to be honest, and the Spirit's telling you, be honest, just open it up, and just talk to the Lord, and you're talking to the Lord, and next thing you know, then you're sitting down, and all of a sudden you're sobbing. You're crying. I'm going to tell you, God's doing a work, and we're all concerned about what's going on around us, and God's concerning what's in front of Him, and that is you. God can go like that, and everything around you can be taken care of, but it's you that He wants to work on. It's you that He wants to be dealing with. He wants you to be honest. He wants you to be transparent with Him. Not whitewashing everything around you or in front of you or on your own face or on your own heart. And David says, make haste to help me. This is the plea. Lord, I need you now. And now he says, now he gets to what it really is. Lord, he says, let them be ashamed and brought to mutual confusion who seek to destroy my life. David had a lot of people trying to take him out before he was king. Let me tell you this. And after he was king, the day he was anointed, listen to me now, the day that he was anointed, evil took a big look and said, that's our target. David had some losses. Yes, he did. But don't we all? Let me give you a reminder. There's only one who never had a loss, and his name is Jesus Christ. So we can look with him. We can look at him in 100% confidence that Jesus can get us through. He says, Lord, deliver me and let them be ashamed. There's people after him all the time. Once he was anointed, people, his own brothers were saying things to him and putting him down when he was walking around there on that hilltop. Everybody's looking at Goliath. Oh, you just come down here to watch the battle. You just come. It was already, once he was anointed, evil just kind of never left his aura, never left his area. He said, let them be driven backward and brought to dishonor who wish me evil. Let them be confounded because of their shame who say to me, aha, aha. Those who are jokingly about him and putting him as a target, they're all after him. He's saying, Lord, take care of them. And let me tell you, it's better that the Lord take care of them than you try to. Can I tell you this? And I'm going to be honest with every one of you and also myself. We all have an enemy out there. It is Lucifer, it is Satan. But I'm telling you, there are people who are also, there are people that don't like you. Do you know that? Every one of you got, there is somebody that people don't They don't like you. They don't like you. Because human beings are real good about hating. We're real good about pointing fingers, and we're real good about judging everybody else's stuff. We're real good about that. Actually, we're experts. Because we do it better than anyone else. Church does it in a way it shouldn't do. It wants to judge those who are lost, and oh my goodness, that's a scary place to be. We should be thinking more about their salvation and not their lostness, and not their evil works. But so much evil was around David. Gotta get him out. Gotta take him down. And sometimes we do need to pray, Lord, move this mountain. This is a hindrance to me. He said, let all those who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. You know what that was? That was a re-encouragement and reinforcement for himself. I'm going to keep looking to the Lord, and I'm going to rejoice and be glad in the Lord. You ever say lines like this? I hope you have. But I'm telling you this, it's not you saying, it's the Holy Spirit working, moaning and groaning in you to get the right stuff out, because if we really speak out of our flesh, it's pretty ugly. Thank God for the Holy Spirit. Because when we're praying, what we're asking is this. We're asking the God of all creation, who sits on one throne, God. There is none like him. He's always been and always will be. Everything is under his feet. He has named all the stars. He knows when every animal has their moment of conception and when they give birth. He knows all the molecules and all those things that go along in the whole world and how the world turns and all the planets and all that stuff. And we're asking him, Lord, listen to me. Out of all the billions of people in the world, we're asking him to listen to me. I've got something to say. And you know what's so awesome? Just say what you got to say. I don't know how he does it. Because tonight there's going to be millions of people going to pray to God. And there's going to be another million or so, whatever. It's going to be praising God because of what God's answered prayers. There's going to be some that are brokenhearted. They lost loved ones. And they're going to be praying on their knees and just praising God, asking God for forgiveness tonight. Somebody's going to be getting saved here in the next few minutes somewhere across the world and sharing the gospel. Somebody's going to be having a birth, and they're going to be praying over that baby when that baby comes into this world, Lord, and they're going to ask a blessing on that baby. There's all kinds of stuff going on, and you're saying, God, I've got something to say. And he'll listen. What I'm trying to teach myself is this, and I've been praying through it or whatever. I need to prepare my heart sometimes. Yeah, there's moments in my car, whatever, I'm going to pray. But there needs to be those moments that I'm like, okay, I need to stand outside, whether I'm doing it here, whatever. I need to stand outside. This is the moment where I need to give reverence to God. Not just, oh, I got these needs, I got these things, whatever. But I need to go and I need to pray to him with reverence. And when I do that, what I'm doing, I'm reminding myself pretty much that he is as awesome as we say he is, and he is in control of all that he does, and he is so mighty that I'm this little minute little sand on this big old ball called the earth, yet I am valuable to him. Isn't that why Jesus came and died? For each and every one of us. David continues, he says, let all those who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. Let such as love your salvation say continually, the Lord be magnified. He said, that's what we should do. Let the Lord be magnified. Let's keep talking about him. Let's keep shouting about him. Let's keep praising him. And And then, this is what men of God do, women of God do. We lift God up and then we put ourselves down here. He says, but I am poor and needy. That's not a bad thing. You know what that does? It knocks your pride away. Knocks your pride away. I am poor and I am needy. And when you know who you really are on this earth, that fits pretty good. Yet the Lord thinks upon me. And we know because we have Jesus Christ as our Savior and we have the Holy Spirit. So yes, I am poor and needy, but I'm also filled with the Holy Spirit. In the Spirit, I am awesome. Only because He's awesome. And He made me awesome. I'm a child of God only because of Him. I'm forgiven only because of Him. I'm blessed. Listen, if God's blessing you, make sure you give the blessing back. Just give Him the praise for it. Don't thank Him just one time. Keep on thanking Him till people get sick of it and you go, okay, I'm just getting started. Man, God's good to me. You know what He's done for me? Oh, yes, I love it. This is what He's done for me. And you praise Him. He says, yet the Lord thinks upon me. You are my help and my deliverer. Do not delay, oh my God. He reminds Himself. And he's praying, you are my help. And he's singing this song, you are my help and my deliverer. You know, there's still songs they're singing about his being deliverer, right? My deliverer. Do not delay. Oh my God. What does he do after that? What is he going to do after that? He's going to do what verse 1 says. I waited patiently for the Lord. And he inclined to me and he heard my cry. Here it is. And he also brought me up out of a pit. What it is, it's the life circle. I get through something, and guess what? I'm going to go through something else down the road. So I'm going to be waiting patiently, and I'm going to know, hey, he just took care of that, and I'm going to give him praise for taking care of that, because now I need him in what I'm doing right now and what's in front of me. And that cycle is going to keep going, and don't think that cycle is not going to happen for you. You live in a broken world, and we are sinful people living in a sinful world. And we need a Savior who's as awesome as the Word says He is. We need a God who's as powerful as God's Word says He is. And we need to understand we're as broken as God's Word says we are broken. And I needed the blood of Jesus Christ to shed for me. For without the blood, the remission of sin, I needed His blood to shed for me. I need to praise Him every day. And I'll be honest, sometimes I praise Him with a joyful heart. I love it. And there's also times I've learned to praise Him when my heart has not been so happy. But I want to tell you, in those moments when they've not been so happy and it's been more broken, it's been more sad, I want to tell you, that's where I feel God's tender mercies much, much more. That's when I feel like He's almost scooted. So, you know what I'm talking about? Where He feels, you're sitting on the couch and you're alone, and it feels like He just kind of went. Just a little bit closer. And then there's times in your prayer you feel His presence and you just don't even say anything. Because His presence is enough. I'm driving down the road, and I'm going to close with this. I'm driving down the road many years ago. And people must have been driving down the road and said, that dude's a nut. I didn't have no headset. That's before. I'm talking a little like, okay, Lord, I got a problem over here, and I need you here, and I don't understand what's going on. And I pulled that truck over, and I said, come on, where are you at? I got problems. I got financial problems. I got all kinds of problems. Where are you at? Let me just tell you, he rode with me that whole truck ride. When I try to call out the Lord, I want to tell you, a presence came into that truck. I'm not going to get all into it, but I want to tell you, he didn't have to say a word. I opened up that Bible. I pulled out my Bible in a glove box. I said, come on. You show me where you're at. I know you're here. I know you, but I'm just telling you, I'm struggling here. Didn't have to say a word. storming outside. I pulled it over. If anybody knows where that frog is on Elmhurst Drive, that's where it was. And I opened up that little Bible there the military gave me, and I'm looking at it, and I'm thinking, I'm just skimming. I'm like, you show me. Opened up in Luke chapter 12. Don't worry. Consider the ravens. Now, here's the crazy part. I've always told God I'm not a smart person. And a light came over my shoulder in that truck and outlined that verse. An actual square outline of light on that verse. And let me tell you what, he had my attention. Can I tell you, God spoke to me in a way that was amazing. Didn't have to say a word, but let me tell you this. When I got done, my complaint turned to praise. My complaint turned to a praise. You know what it was? It wasn't about any of my problems. I'm like, oh God, you're awesome. You're just an amazing God. Because I could just feel him. You know what? Those problems went away. Through time, they went bye-bye, like they always do if you trust the Lord and you wait. But what lesson did I have to learn? Was it really about my problems at that time? No. I did the right thing. I think I did the right thing. I didn't go to any person. I went to the Lord. And I went with all my heart, I can tell you that. I went with all my mouth. I went with everything. Even shaking, I went with everything. I wasn't mad at him. I was upset with the way things were going. And let me tell you, God never chastised me for that. Lord, don't take away your tender mercies. I caught that for me. But the same God I serve is the same God you serve. You get serious with God, I'm telling you, God gets serious with you. Now, I had to learn a lot of things. But this I know. This I know. He's never let me down. And he'll never leave you down. He'll never let you down. He'll never let you down. I think tonight that we need to remember what God has done for us. But also, I think tonight we need to remember that some of us have got some things going on and we need God to do something now. We try everything else but going to God first. What has God done for you and what does God need to do now? What are you asking God to do now? Believe it when the scriptures say, ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door shall be open. Father, as we get ready to close this portion, we'll open up our altar for opportunity for prayer. Sometimes we have to open up our whole self before we really get real with what's going on in our life. We have to get real. And sometimes we have to wait. And sometimes we're waiting. We think we're waiting on you, but really, you're waiting on us to get real with you about whatever is going on. I pray for this group that is here tonight that we would take you serious. Take whatever it is in our life serious, and then we just lay it at your feet and start working on it together. We ask for your Spirit to do what you need to do in your will, and we ask it in Christ's name. Amen.